Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
You, what's required and asked of you to represent our university.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
We're all in to finish what we've started.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our hosts, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gildo.
Three great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Good evening and welcome to Tiger Rag Radio. This is Glenn Gildo, editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, filling in for Jeff Palermo. Can't be with us tonight. Merry Christmas to Jeff. And I'm also joined by Tiger Rag executive editor Todd Horn, former Woodlawn quarterback, and and our producer, Andre Champagne.
Luke.
Andre Luke Champagne. Andre, how are you, buddy?
Doing well, guys. How are y'all?
Good, good. It's almost Christmas, man. I can feel it. But we got a great show for you tonight. We're going to start off with Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN. We're going to talk about the college football playoffs, the mess at Michigan, Lane Kiffin coming to LSU. And then we're going to talk to Corey Diaz about LSU women's basketball. We're going to talk to Mark at 6:30. We're going to talk to Corey about 6:45. At 7 p.m., you just heard his voice on the intro, LSU men's basketball coach Matt McMahon will join us live after their big win.
Huge.
Saturday against SMU in the Smoothie King Center. You called it, if not the best win in McMahon's time here at LSU. I think that win over Kentucky was a pretty big one, but definitely one of the best wins, Todd.
Yeah, I think this one could be the best win in retrospect, once all said and done, because like I said a couple of weeks ago, especially after they lost so badly to Texas Tech, quad one win heading into the SEC, where the SEC is down and there's not as many quad one opportunities this year. It's going to be a big win for LSU when it comes time to figuring out who goes to the tournament.
Yeah, and that was a very guard-strong team, SMU was, as was Texas Tech. So they obviously adjusted, which is a sign of a good coach. And they got three pretty light non-conference games coming up before they open SEC play in early January against Texas Tech. But we'll be talking to Matt at 7 o'clock, and then Glenn West, 6'10", Glenn West, will also talk about basketball with us. He was at the game. But we're going to go to Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN at 6:30. But first off, we're going to
Schlabaugh get out of the car or the van yet? Is he still?
That's right. He was with Marty. What's Marty's last name? Marty Smith. Marty Smith at ESPN when they interviewed Lane outside the airport there in Oxford. Schlabaugh was on the Lane watch. We'll talk to him about that. But this LSU Ole Miss dichotomy story is just. It's just not going to end, man. We just posted a story on Tiger Rag Magazine. You can go to it now about how LSU has a good chance of getting Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss, who's just a great quarterback. He's got to get that waiver pass, though, and really on paper it doesn't look like he would, but the NCAA just lets everything go.
If his name was T.J. Finley, yeah, he'd be okay.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I don't understand that either, but the NCAA loses more cases than Martin Berger, who used to go against Barry Mason.
So if I go to TigerRag.com, I can read about Chambliss. And
it's
also
up there.
Kiwan
and Kawan
Lacy.
Yeah. Chambliss, I mean, here it is a few days before their playoff game, and he's talking about how he's got to explore all his options.
And the college football is so different now. They really do need to work on that schedule, because that had to be uncomfortable for Chambliss and Lacey.
He didn't seem that uncomfortable. I mean, he was saying it pretty matter of fact.
Yeah, I know, but it still had to be uncomfortable, especially since it was a college football playoff press conference.
But it's reality. You know, it's reality.
I know.
And you know, I guess you could say, it's good that he's not lying. I'm an Ole Miss Rebel, you know. And you know, Lane didn't lie either. Like Nick left when he was at Miami, said he wasn't going to be the coach in Alabama.
24 hours later, he was getting up.
And he was, you know. So there's really no way to handle it, you know. And then Kawan Lacey got up, and he avoided the question a little bit. And he said he's just getting ready for the game, which was probably a good thing to say. But he could leave, too. I mean, all their offensive coaches – or at LSU, you know, the people they know.
Except for running backs coach Kevin Smith. He's still the wild card.
Right, and that's an interesting scenario. I just heard Matt Moscona talking about this on the way in, a frequent guest on Tiger Rag. Coach Smith could leave Ole Miss with Kawan Lacey as a package deal to wherever they go, and that could be LSU. He could rejoin all his fellow assistants and – you got to believe Chambliss. I mean, his first year in major college, and he has just a spectacular year. He's got to be kind of thanking Lane Kiffin for that. So I would be surprised if he doesn't come to LSU and they could get Kawan Lacey, too, and his running back coach. And then Frank Wilson could coach LSU in the bowl game and then end up at Ole Miss as running backs coach with one of LSU's running backs, probably going to go with them. And that's the world we're in now.
And if you had to speculate on which LSU running back would follow Frank Wilson to an Ole Miss, if that were to happen, you would have to think it would be Harlan Berry because of his longtime relationship with Frank Wilson.
Right.
So that would be a shame because Harlan Berry was, on the ascension, if you will, throughout the season and towards the end of the season.
Yeah, towards the end of the season after Frank took over as interim coach. But how weird is that? Frank would be coaching LSU on December 27th in the Texas Bowl, then going to Ole Miss. Charlie Weiss, the Ole Miss offensive coordinator, who is on work leave at Ole Miss because he's the LSU offensive coordinator, and several members of his staff, they be coaching Ole Miss in the playoffs and then coming back to LSU. And LSU has Ole Miss has these new coaches that there for next season. Their offensive coordinator and some other coaches, and they're not taking part in the preparation at all. You know, and like Lane Kiffin and his other coaches, they're not taking part in any of the preparation that LSU's practicing now.
Right.
for their bowl, there's been no media ops for LSU since Frank did a press conference. So it's really weird how things have happened.
It is weird. It's very strange. And again, it's uncomfortable. It's awkward.
Right.
And it's all attributable to the NCAA's schedule, which, as we know, and Nick Saban has talked about almost ad nauseum on game day when it was still coming on Saturday mornings. That they need to change that, and they do. They absolutely need to change the schedule, and hopefully that'll happen this offseason.
I don't know if there's a perfect schedule out there because there's so many other variables involved.
Right.
Unlike in the NFL, because you got the semester situation, you know. But one thing they could do, they don't need to have the early signing period in December. I think they should go back to that being in February. That'd make it easier for everybody.
You know, there's a couple things I definitely want to touch on and talk about, and I know we're going to run out of time here in this first segment relatively soon. But is this not the most subtle, if that's even the right word, conspicuous bowl game that LSU's ever played in? It's like nobody's talking about it. Nobody seems to care. A lot of apathy towards this game. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, it's, there wouldn't be a lot of interest anyway, I don't think, because it is kind of a third-tier bowl. But I really think, and I wrote that in the story that's up now about Chambliss and Lacey, I think there's more LSU interest in this Ole Miss Tulane game than there is in the LSU-Houston game. I mean, people will watch that game when it comes around, But I mean, it just is so insignificant, and because so many of the players, you know, probably won't be back. A good portion of them will, though.
You're talking about LSU players.
Yeah, LSU players that play in the Texas Bowl. A lot of those guys will probably not be back at LSU, but who knows? But yeah, it's definitely strange the way the schedule is now.
Yeah, is Houston still favored over LSU?
They opened as a 5-point favorite. They're 9-3, and they're ranked 21 in the college football rankings.
Houston is now favored by 3.
Wow.
Okay. What's the over under?
It is at 41.5.
Thank you, Andre.
I don't see how in the world LSU is going to score 20 points.
I know, people, I'm not a degenerate. I just looked it up. So,
Luke.
Well,
Luke, you have a gambling problem?
No.
Okay.
You look at the yards Kawan Lacy put up, man. He 1,000-yard rusher. When's the last time LSU had a 1,000-yard rusher? Was it Tyron Davis Price?
Yeah.
Well, besides Jaden Daniels.
Right. Yeah, right. I mean, right. a running back 1,000-yard rusher.
Then it would have been.
What about Jaden Daniels getting put on the shelf? And what about Joe Burrow talking like he's he's got everybody concerned, and especially in Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah. He just seems a little weary of the constant injuries and losing. Now, you know, he says
he's not having fun.
Yeah, yeah. And
he says if he's going to keep playing this game, he's got to have fun. But he says he played his worst game of his career, he said, against the Ravens this past weekend. They lost 24-0. It was the first time Joe Burrow's ever been shut out. And he said that in that post-game press conference from the Ravens game that his previous comments were not about the Bengals, but it sure sounded like it.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually got booed by Bengals fans this weekend. Wow. That's how bad he played.
Yeah, and Jamar Chase told the fans that were booing to run their ass home, quote unquote.
Well, it's been a rough year for a lot of LSU players in the NFL. Will Campbell has had an injury. Jaden Daniels, as you mentioned. Malik Nabers is out. But Jaden had such a fantastic year last year. Rookie of the year, got to the NFC title game. But it's going to be interesting to watch how those people bounce back. And you're working on a story about Joe Burrow for the next Tiger Rag magazine that'll be out in early January, and making a comparison to who?
To Burt Jones and also to Andrew Luck, because they both, Burt Jones made it to his 30th year. They had very comparable numbers when you break down the eras. You know, this is obviously with Burrow, he's got many more passing yards and many more touchdowns, but that's because of the game being different. But in terms of the flight or, you know, pattern of their careers, very similar, and of course Jones had a less than competent Baltimore Colts team that he was playing with most of his career, even though he led them to championships, at least playoffs, but then he got injured, and Burrow's been injured three major injuries since leading them to the Super Bowl in his second season, so there's very comparable stats and trajectories to their career.
And guys now think about their future life a lot more than back in the day, NFL players, you know. But we'll be back after a short break here at Tiger Rag. We're going to have at the bottom of the hour at 6:30, we're going to have Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN.com to talk playoffs and Lane Kiffin. And we'll be back with more Tiger Rag Radio right after this.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with 5 available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Welcome back to Tiger Rag Radio. This is Glenn Gilbo, live from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio with Tiger Rag Executive Editor Todd Horn and Tiger Rag Staff Reporter and versatile radio guy, Andre Champagne.
Just butchering it. Champagne, man.
Just call him Luke. That's what he is. That's who he is.
We're going to get you, man, what other name was it, Todd, that Glenn couldn't quite capture? It was on the LSU football team this year.
There's always one he can't capture.
Oh, Delane. It was Delane for the longest time.
Speaking of which, do you realize
Mansoor Delaney.
If Mansoor Delaney. Mansoor Delaney.
Mansoor Delaney.
Now, yeah, but, you know, there's two more All-American teams to come out. Yep. And if he gets it, he will be a unanimous All-American. And LSU's only had 13 other unanimous All-Americans in the history of their football program.
You're talking about the top four, right? Walter Camp at AP, he has. What are the other two?
There's the two more that need to come out are the Football Writers of America, and I forgot the other one.
Yeah.
But there's two more, and they'll come out in the next couple of days. And he's almost a cinch to get on both of those because he's made everyone else, including AP and Walter Camp that you were just talking about. But the point is that if he becomes a unanimous All-American, which he's more than likely going to be, consensus All-American. There's only been 13 other times in LSU football history that's happened, and Jaden Daniels didn't even become a consensus All-American.
So. And he did it with a painful core injury for most of the season.
Yeah,
that's really amazing. Especially for a cornerback who has to run and cut based on what the other guy's doing.
You know, and history will, you know, document this season as being one of the most disappointing seasons in LSU football history. But he will certainly be the highlight that is always pointed to for this team.
Yeah, and he did not win the Jim Thorpe Award Saturday. He was a finalist. That went to Caleb Downs from Ohio State. And you know, you often don't see a guy on a 7-5 team get those awards. And then, you know, most of the major awards LSU players have gotten have been when they've had better seasons, obviously, than 7-5. You know, it's always kind of a close race among those guys. But Mansoor is surely going to be a high first-round pick in the NFL draft. And it's going to be fun watching his career for sure. And we also got a little bit of news as far as the immediate future with linebacker Whit Weeks, who's not going to play in the bowl game as he's recovering.
Neither is Delane, by the way.
And neither is Delane. What did Whit say today, Todd?
Yeah, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but he was on a podcast with Gordon McKernan, who's, you know, one of his NIL sugar daddies, if you want to call it that. But he said that he has not decided what he's going to do. He's got to make up his mind. He's got people telling him to leave. He's got people telling him to come back, and he's just going to block them all out and make his own decision. He said it does bode well for his decision-making process and for LSU that his future father-in-law, Lane Kiffin.
Maybe. They're just dating.
Yeah, okay, whatever. So that he kept Blake Baker. And he said that was really important, but he still hasn't made up his mind. And he gave no indication, at least I didn't hear any indication, of when he may make up his mind. The reason I think that's so important is, you know, you're losing Delane, you're losing A.J. Halsey, who I think was probably the best player on the defense all season, even though that, you know, smacks in the face of Delane. But those two were great. But you know,
different positions.
Yeah, I mean,
great players.
You need Whit Weeks back. You need Whit Weeks.
Yeah,
back.
And I don't think Whit would be probably a fourth round pick in the NFL draft. Well, I don't see him going that high. He needs to have a healthy full year, and come off of a better season, and he'll go higher.
I agree, and I don't know why it's such a difficult decision for him to make, given that fact. But
yeah.
Apparently, it is.
You know, sometimes
maybe he's just negotiating for a higher NIL.
Well, sometimes they get worried, you know, that they might drop. You know, and look at Garrett Nussmeier. I'm sure he wishes he'd have gone to the draft last year because he's probably looking at a third or fourth round pick. And I don't even know how healthy he is now. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back with ESPN.com's Mark Schlabaugh live here from the Super Chevy Dealers studio. Stay tuned for more Tiger Rag Radio.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Let's go.
We now return to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Hello, welcome back to Tiger Rag Radio. This is Glenn Gilbo, live from the Tiger Rag Radio Super Chevy Dealer Studio with Tiger Rag Executive Editor Todd Horn and our producer Andre Sempagne. And don't forget, you can listen to this entire show on a podcast shortly after the show ends at 8 p.m. That will be on YouTube or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and it'll be later tonight also on TigerRag.com. website. We're now joined by the great Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN, former Atlanta Journal-Constitution writer and author of several books, too many to mention, several New York Times bestsellers. Mark, how are you tonight, buddy?
Good, Glenn. How you doing?
Good. Good. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thanks for joining us. What playoff game are you at this weekend if you're working, and what do you think of the playoffs in general going in to this opening weekend?
I will be back in Oxford
right.
Watching Ole Miss against Tulane. I assume you'll be there as well.
Actually, we were going to go, but us and other Louisiana media affiliates got turned down because of space, and I'm wondering if maybe because of the LSU interest in the game that may grate on the Rebels, but who knows. But and so I want you to keep an eye out for empty seats in the press box and send us a picture.
You and I were in Starkville together on
right
after Thanksgiving.
Right.
I drove from Thomasville, Georgia to Tuscaloosa in the middle of the night through Dothan and Columbus, Georgia and Dothan, Alabama, and got to Alabama and I stayed at Nick Saban's hotel, the Alamite. That was the first time I stayed there, which is a fine hotel. But
oh, he owns that? I did not know that.
Yeah, huh. He owns that. That's what Marty Smith told me, because I called Marty, and I said, Marty, I haven't eaten dinner, and the only thing on DoorDash was pizza. And like halfway through the call, I realized it was that Hunt Brothers stuff that they sell at gas stations. And so the guy delivering it, I said, hey, man, was it Chevron or Texaco? He said, I don't know, up there on Highway 82.
Oh, the gloried life of a sports writer.
53-year-old ESPN guy for 20 years. Yep.
well, Mark, tell us about your little adventure with Marty there in Starkville trying to – or then back in Oxford trying to find Lane.
And are you going to have the same van as your rental
car?
No,
Marty was driving a loaf of bread. I was driving my own F-150. I'm a smart man. There's only one way to get in and out of Oxford, and that's in your own automobile. I tried to fly into Memphis this week and there weren't many flights and there were no cars.
Jesus.
I called him Thanksgiving night and he said, you won't believe this. I'm driving like an 8-passenger van. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, there's no cars at the Birmingham airport. And apparently this is a nationwide problem. But I said, well, I'm eating gas station pizza. And then Saturday, we're like 36 hours into this thing, and he looks at me and goes, man, I ain't built for this. I don't know how y'all do this. And me and Pete Thamel are texting him. I'm like, dude, we ain't even halfway through this. We still got Sunday. And Pete's like, I do 20 of these a day, which he does. And so Marty earned his stripes, but he did a tremendous job in the memes and everything were fantastic. But nah, standing next to him at the airport, everybody recognizes Marty. Everybody loves Marty. Nobody knows me. And I love you, Marty. You're the best, Marty. I was like, oh my God, get me home.
And you and Marty both kind of cut your teeth as young reporters covering NASCAR, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh my God. That was the worst year of my life, Glenn. It was so bad. It was the year Jeff Gordon won the Daytona 500, cutting illegally, going on the apron to run somebody off the track, whatever they call it. So that was the year I got married and almost divorced.
Well, let's go to the game this weekend. You think Tulane's got a chance?
Probably not. But I mean, look, I love Summerall. I think it was a tremendous hire for Florida. I do not know him well. I've got other people at ESPN. My buddy Adam Rittenberg says he's the salt of the earth. He's a tremendous football coach. Most importantly, Glenn likes Widespread Panic, if you saw the video last week, which is a great Athens, Georgia band.
Right, right. Kirby Smart's a big Widespread Panic fan too, as I remember.
I think Pete Golding maybe.
Wow, because
he certainly looks like a Widespread Panic fan.
Because Kirby,
his hair and his you know, his beard and everything. But
yeah,
I mean Tulane had some key guys out the first time, so I don't think you can take too much into that. But hopefully, it's competitive. I just give Summerall all the credit in the world for seeing it through. And I do, look, Lane's taking a lot of flack for not finishing out. And, you know, Keith Carter and the Ole Miss administration made their decision that if you're going to one of our SEC rivals, you're not going to coach Ole Miss in the playoffs. This isn't going to be an infomercial for LSU football. And it's different going from Tulane to Florida. But the fact that he stayed and did it the right way and is going to coach these guys through it, I think says a lot about his character.
Do you think it's somewhat some type of hypocrisy with Ole Miss that they wouldn't let Lane coach, but they're letting the staff coach?
I mean, a little bit, but like somebody close to the situation, I was there for like 5 days when it all went down, told me it's not that we're not letting LSU's coach Ole Miss. It's we're not letting Lane coach Ole Miss. They felt like they couldn't trust him to be around those kids for another 3 or 4 weeks or however long it goes. But, I mean, I still think Kawan Lacy and Trinidad Chambliss and all those kids are probably going to end up in Baton Rouge before it's all said and done.
Well, speaking of Chambliss, what's your take on his waiver situation? Do you think he's going to get that? What's the complicating factor?
It doesn't seem on paper like he has much of an argument to me.
They're cutting down on 6 years. I know that, the 6 years. I mean, at some point, these guys got to leave.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, I got a buddy here. I live in a tiny town in Georgia, and one of my best friend's sons is a high school quarterback, and he was All-State, and he was an All-State shortstop, and with a 4.5 GPA, and his uncle is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the SEC, and he could not get an offer because nobody will leave college. That's what people don't realize. These guys are staying for 5-6 years. Who's the kid that was at – I think he was at Tulane, and then he was at Georgia State.
TJ Finley. Yeah,
he was at LSU.
He was like 17th year.
Yeah,
and Max – Max
at some
is
point,
too.
You got to leave.
Yeah, yeah. You're
depriving high school kids who work their tails off of opportunities, and people don't understand that. I mean, there just aren't holes. There's just no opportunities.
Yeah, it's the 7 years of college John Belushi line from Animal House.
No, I mean, I did 7 in Athens at Georgia, but I wasn't playing.
Well, you were playing, but not football.
But, Glenn, you say Chambliss doesn't have a case, but he only played two games in his sophomore
year. Yeah, but he wasn't injured. Do you get a year back because you weren't good enough to play? I mean, other kids have.
I mean, I guess back then it wasn't a four-game rule. It was only if you played, you played. That coach at Ferris State in Michigan, his system is to play multiple quarterbacks every year.
Right.
He would never call me back, so I don't know what his system actually is. But, you know, he played like four guys one year. And I was like, what are you doing? Just making sure they can't transfer?
Exactly. Hey, I want getting back to Kiffin real quick. I wanted to ask you that there was an interesting line in his press release that he sent out before he got to LSU, where he said he offered to stay at Ole Miss with certain guardrails in place. What do you think those what he meant by the guardrails there? Like, I won't take any players, or what do you think he was going to offer up?
Glenn, I don't know, because I know Carter didn't tell me, Lane never told me. It was weird, because then I saw the Athletic story yesterday where they said the leadership council voted 9-3 that they wanted Lane to coach him in the playoffs, and that kind of contradicts what I was told, that they were kind of ready to move on, that it was too much about Lane and not enough about what the team had accomplished. So I don't know the answer to that. But, look, it was going to be messy regardless. You're going to take, Charlie, I would be stunned. I mean, Charlie Wise Jr. is going to be in LSU, but George McDonald, I guess the one guy that's kind of the linchpin is Kevin Smith, the running backs coach, because he's really tight with Lacey. But it's messy, and it's the SEC, and it's college football, and it's why we love it.
Hey, Mark, thanks a lot for joining us, buddy. Merry Christmas to you. Have a good game Saturday.
See you at the Sugar Bowl.
All right, bud. And we'll be back with more Tiger Rag Radio right after this.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Welcome back to Tiger Rag Radio. This is Glenn Gilbo, Tiger Rag editor with Tiger Rag executive editor Todd Horn, and Tiger Rag producer, sports writer, overall versatile man, Andre Champagne.
Luke.
Better.
Luke. We're now joined by Corey Diaz, USA Today, Louisiana. Corey, how are you?
Gilbo, what's up, brother?
Happy holidays, man.
Hey, what am I, milk toast?
say hello to Todd, Andre. I mean,
hi, Corey. Todd.
and Andre. Hey, Corey, before we're gonna talk a little women's basketball, but I want to ask you another question first. I spoke to you about this briefly. We were down there in the chute after LSU lost to Texas A&M on October 25th, and you were talking to another writer, and you were saying, basically you were saying, this could be it for Brian Kelly and for Scott Woodward. And I'm like, well, man, okay, I know about the first part, but Woodward too. Wow, I didn't think of that. So, how are you already there at that point? And just great reporting on your part or connections. How had you already arrived at that possible conclusion, which did happen?
Yeah, well, I guess thanks for that, Glenn. But let me also say, I didn't think all of that would happen within like a 2-day span, like 48 hours, which I thought was just absolutely insane. But, you know, obviously some connections, just some talk and some insight that I had, some people that are obviously, connected in these sorts of circles and situations around LSU. But also too, like, at the time, the university was searching for its full-time president. So there was not only, going to be a leadership change at the top of the football program, but there was going to be change at basically the top of the university itself. And, that's why I sort of asked around and poked around. And, the consensus was, well, we're trying to find a new president. Folks I talked to said, we're not entirely sure if, the new leadership would feel comfortable with Scott Woodward making the decision on who the next LSU head football coach is. And so just from having heard that, it made sense because, you see it all the time. There's an athletic director, like a new AD gets hired at a school and they let go of the football coach that was there before them because they want to get their own guy. And I feel like, with this situation, now I didn't really know at the time that you know, LSU is going to sort of split up the, you know, president slash chancellor role. I didn't know that at the time. But, you know, obviously the president was still going to have some say-so in who, you know, eventually was going to get the job. And, you know, just a situation where, you know, from everything I heard and everything that I understood was that, you know, the new president would want to have a say in,
right,
you know, who the football coach is going to be, and then ultimately whether or not they were going to allow Woodward to stay on to do that. So,
well, it's an excellent point, Corey, because a lot of the national people went on to think that, oh, this was Jeff Landry, when the fact is Jeff Landry was just the first one to publicly talk about Woodward being in trouble. There were powerful people at LSU, I found out later, that did not like Woodward being did not want Woodward to make the next hire because he made two bad hires in a row based on contracts, even though the first one wasn't at LSU. There's so many people that have told me, oh, well, Jeff Landry got him fired. No, there's plenty of other people that wanted a change. And he was kind of tied to Brian Kelly. So that's what happened. But I appreciate that. And we're gonna switch gears now to a little.
Well, actually, before we switch gears yet.
We're going to downshift.
We're
going to
downshift. It's actually good if you think Lane Kiffin was a good hire for LSU football, which I think most people do, that Woodward did get axed, because there's no way that Scott Woodward.
Do you think? Really?
Yeah, and I don't think Kiffin would have come to LSU if Scott Woodward was the AD.
Well, Woodward definitely was not interested in Lane when he hired Brian Kelly. Lane had only been at Ole Miss 2 years.
Right.
But I was thinking that he might have been interested in him this time around.
I don't think Kiffin would have come.
Right.
If Woodward
Even if
was
he
still,
would have been. Yeah. Exactly. Wow.
But anyway.
Well, and if I may, guys.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Todd, to your point, the misalignment, right, between, I guess, what we viewed publicly, right, between Governor Jeff Landry and the head of the LSU athletic department at the time, that would have more than likely would have kept Lane Kiffin away. Now, I don't think that, you know, Woodward would have been doing his due diligence and good enough job if he at least didn't just call Lane, you know, once that job was open. I think he would have done that. I don't think, because look, Lane Kiffin was the top choice for any school that was looking for a head football coach. I mean,
I agree.
If they say they weren't, they were lying, right? So, like, Scott would have definitely called Lane, but I think Lane would have been very apprehensive on coming to LSU if basically the head of the state and the head of the athletic department were kind of at odds.
Yeah, and I believe what both Kiffin and Verge has told us, and Verge was the deciding factor, the relationship with Verge and his knowledge of football and the way to run a football operation, which is leap years ahead of what Woodward.
And stay out of the way.
Yeah,
too.
That's
the first thing Kiffin said when we asked him that. He said, I'll leave you alone. Verge said he's going to leave him alone. All right, hey, Corey, you're going to stay with us through the break, right?
Yep, I'm with you guys. Let's do it.
Okay, we'll be back with more Tiger Rag Radio right after this.
Tiger Rag Radio is back, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Welcome back to Tiger Rag Radio. This is Glenn Gilbo, Tiger Rag Editor. We're live from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio with Executive Editor Todd Horn and Producer Andre Champagna. And we're talking to Corey Diaz, covers LSU for USA Today Louisiana.
And don't forget, you can get our podcast of the show about 30 minutes after the show tonight on any podcast platform that you choose or YouTube.com. Corey, quick question for you. Actually, two questions. I'm going to wrap them together. One, I want you to explain the 6-7 thing to me because I just don't get it at all. I don't understand it. And there was an event in today's game where it became relevant, and I need you to explain it to me. And I also want to know why no one asked Kim Mulkey at the press conference if she's concerned about her offense because they haven't been able to score 100 points in their last two games. What's wrong with that offense?
Todd, you're unfortunately, man, I know I lived through it today, but you're still asking the wrong person on being able to explain it to you. I do not get it. I do not understand it. I know that probably makes me old, and you know what? I'm okay with that now. I don't know, man. It's just like, I don't know, something that kids have latched on to.
67.
And look, and
6'7", not
6'7".
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what it is. But, look, you have to credit the ladies on the team, right, because they're all about entertainment and engagement, and that really got the kids engaged and involved in the game. So I definitely big hat tip to that, and I can appreciate that. You know, hey, can't score 100 against Morgan State. I mean, you know, do you fold the program? You know, do you shut the doors? Like, no. Look, I mean, it's you know, Morgan State, I thought, did a better job at what the Alcorn State head coach said that his game plan was when they came in last month to try to play. You know, they wanted to, you know, bleed the shot clock, run it all the way down. But Alcorn State just couldn't take care of the ball. Morgan State actually had some pretty good ball movement. They bled the shot clock all the way down basically to zero, I want to say 8 or 9 times today. There was 4 or 5 shot clock violations that LSU forced, and there was 4 other possessions at least where Morgan State took the shot clock literally all the way down to the last second. So if you do that, it's going to be really hard for, you know, an LSU or any other team, right, to score 100 points, because that just limits their possessions in the game. So the offense is fine. I thought this was probably one of the better defensive performances that I'd seen. And again, I know we're talking about Morgan State here, but, you know, I thought there was a lot of really good things defensively that LSU did today. And obviously they're 2 weeks away from, you know, opening up SEC play at home against Kentucky, which will be their first ranked matchup of the year. So, I think Kim feels really good about where they are. I think a lot of the ladies on the team, we spoke with Zakiya Johnson and Grace Knox after the game today, 2 freshmen. I asked them about, you know, with SEC play around the corner, you know, it's going to be a different animal, especially inside in terms of size and physicality. You know, how ready do they feel for that? And both of them answered with big smiles on their faces. They seem like they're ready to throw themselves into the deep end and see what it's going to be like. So, I think this team doesn't lack for confidence. There's a lot of skill and there's a lot of talent on this team. So I'm really excited for them to actually get into conference play so we can actually see what they look like.
Hey, what's up, Corey? This is Andre. Yeah, I just with SEC play coming up, I just want a real quick question just from watching this team 12 games in. What areas do you think this team could struggle in when it comes to early conference play because of that schedule maybe?
Yeah, you know, and that was part of the reason why, you know, I not only asked Zakiya and Grace after the game, you know, I asked Kim too. Look, you've got 4 post players who have never played in the SEC. They don't know what it's like. And I know Amaya Joyner's played at East Carolina. She's a senior. She's a grad transfer. But I'm sorry, but the American Athletic Conference is not like the SEC. It's just not. And Kate Cavall seen some of it in the ACC last year in her first year at Notre Dame, but she's only a sophomore. So it's going to be a different animal, you know, inside for them. And so I'm really curious to see what the post is going to look like for them, you know, as they're matching up with a Reagan Beers and with a Kyla Oldacre, you know, with Texas, you know, a lot of these, a Clara Strack, you know, right off the jump there at Kentucky.
Okay.
So it's going to be fun.
All right, Corey, thanks for joining us, buddy. We'll be back with more Tiger Rag Radio right after this.
Happy holidays.
You too, Corey.